Why is it that we have such a hard time coming to the book of Revelation? Let me ask you, first of all, turn to the prophet Zechariah. I want to show you one other thing that really began to turn the tide in my life and began to force me to handle the book of Revelation differently than I had done in the past. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. Now, this is a seminar, and if I ask a question you are allowed to answer, just make sure that you agree with me when you do, okay? What? Zechariah chapter 9. Hey, who's running this show? You will go where I tell you to go. Go to Zechariah chapter 9. Like I said, you can only respond if you agree with me. See, this is the problem of coming to a church where you're too familiar with the people. Zechariah chapter 9. I told you we were going to have fun. You know why? Because I'm not apparently the only goob in the crowd. All right. Zechariah chapter 9. Boy, I can just hear that love offering diminishing as we go. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Listen to this prophecy, and you tell me whether this prophecy was fulfilled literally or figuratively. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Did that happen literally or figuratively? When? Palm Sunday, or actually the 14th or the 10th of Nisan, the month of Nisan, when Jesus comes to the Mount of Olives across from the temple. He proceeds down the Kidron Valley into the temple, and just in fulfillment of the Passover lamb, he goes into his father's house, and for 4 days, in accordance with the law of God, he is examined by the Pharisees, Sadducees, chief priests, and elders, and finally they come to the conclusion, stop asking him questions, boys, we're not going to trip him. This man is without blemish. In fulfillment of the Passover, that is exactly what happened. Now turn over to Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 10. We'll start in verse 12. I told them, if you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it. So they paid me 30 pieces of silver, and the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they priced me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. When did this take place? Judas. Four specific things. The amount of the price, that it was a price of betrayal, that it was thrown into the temple, and the purchase of the potter's field. Four specific things. All right? Now turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Let me just read a brief portion from verse 4. I was taught that Jesus would never set foot on this planet again. But look what Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4 says. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two, east from west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. Drop down to verse 9, or verse 8. On that day, living water will flow out of Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. Now skip over to chapter 14 and verse 16. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the king, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Now here is the dilemma that I found myself in. I could clearly go to the prophet Zechariah and read chapter 9 and woohoo and get excited about the fact that Zechariah, hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, prophesied exactly how he would enter the city of Jerusalem. I could then go to chapter 10 and get all excited, or chapter 11, and get all excited about the four specific prophecies about his betrayal. And I had no problem taking those to be literal prophecies, yet that were fulfilled in exact detail. Here was my dilemma. By what rule of hermeneutics, or rule of how we interpret the scripture, did I then permit myself to go to Zechariah 14 and say, it doesn't mean what it says? You see the dilemma? And so that's what I had to do with Revelation. I had to go back and decide, I'm simply going to let it say what it says and see if it makes sense reading it that way. Father, I come to you in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we have a monumental task ahead of us, but one that is so pertinent to the hour in which we live, so relevant to our daily lives. Father, you know that every time I do this, I'm overwhelmed. I don't feel adequate to the task. So Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would come alongside and would do the teaching and the instructing. Open our hearts and our minds to see what is there. And Lord, simply prepare us to be faithful servants even unto death. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.